Welcome to Between the Lines. Listening to literature online. This is show number 67, The Rant is Too Damn High Party. Many ways to deal with what goes on in the world and reading the news every day. Some people like to ignore it. Some people like to protest. Some people like to write letters, sign petitions, talk with people, complain. Some people like to meditate, be serene about it all. It's hard to read about a lot of the negative stuff, and it takes a lot of effort to be positive, and being calm about it all usually helps the most. But then again, sometimes it's good to let off some steam and express how you feel and rant. This show is to rant a little on a variety of topics in the news. This is your host, Monk. Thank you for listening. First off, a little background information on the title of the show is a riff off of The Rent is Too Damn High Party, which is an actual political party. According to Wikipedia, The Rent is Too Damn High Party is a political party in New York that has nominated candidates for mayor of New York City in 2005 and 2009, and for governor and senator in 2010. Jimmy McMillan was the mayoral candidate both times, as well as a candidate for governor. In 2005, he received more than 4,000 votes and more than 40,000 in 2010. The party has three registered members in the state. McMillan himself is registered as a Republican, previously a Democrat, for the purposes of running in that party's primary elections. As its name implies, the central tenet of the Rent is Too Damn High Party is that rents in the city of New York are too high for its residents, and it should be lowered to relieve financial stress and poverty and increase employment via the secondary economic stimulus effects of rent relief. One of the taglines for the party is breakfast, lunch, and dinner, indicating that the party seeks to end hunger and poverty in New York City. The party sought to win without a single vote from upstate New York. The party website included a picture of New York with a giant X marked over upstate. McMillan surmises that reducing rent would, quote, create 3 to 6 million jobs, end quote, freeing up capital to give businesses a chance to hire people. This would in turn increase tax revenue. The party is in favor of writing off all taxes owed to the state, cutting property taxes for homeowners, consolidating the rent boards in New York, seizing unoccupied apartment buildings, reforming the state court system, and providing tax credits for commuters and free college tuition. The party opposes any cuts in spending related to education and elderly care. So, actually, I thought that when he was running for mayor that he had the best platform. And, if you look at, we have a lot of complaints and things about what's going on in the world, but there's some statistic, maybe 33% of people's money or weekly, paycheck, monthly money goes to rent. I would venture to say more than 50% sometimes. So you look at how much that we as a people work, and on the one hand, of course, very thankful to have a roof over the head and to have the comforts compared to a lot of people in the world. But when you stop and think about how much goes into just putting, just covering the roof over the head, and also not just individually, but businesses. In 2008, when the economy tanked, the bailouts happened, a lot of business stores went out because of the rent is too damn high. Think about whatever it is you're selling, bakeries, sell cookies, how many cookies you gotta sell, how many widgets you gotta sell to pay for the rents. And a lot of the rents, they basically, it doesn't have to do with landlords or a lot of local stuff. It has to do with, the banks, the big banks have their hands on the cookie jar. And so, again, the rent is too damn high party makes a lot of sense. So that's where the riff of the rent is too damn high party comes from. And, the rent being one of them, we talk about all kinds of stuff, but sometimes we overlook the basics of how much work people have to expend just to cover paying the bank, which is, it's reminiscent of the feudal system. Same thing with property taxes when you don't actually supposedly own the land you're on. If you buy a house, you supposedly own the land, but you're still paying on it. So who really owns the land, even though in the higher law, nobody owns the land. But, when it comes to work, effort and time and blah, 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 it's costs a lot. So I have a list of little topics here to kind of just freewheel it and rant on. First one on the list, well, not really in any particular order, but Monsanto and other agribusinesses are resisting the GMO labeling of their products. Now, first off, you're supposed to list ingredients that go in products. So why wouldn't they want to, why wouldn't they just want to say what's in the product? Well, I'm guessing that's because they're hiding something. So that's the obvious logical deduction. Why was the, after the attacks on September 11th, why was it not treated like a crime scene and the debris was just hauled off? Are they hiding something? A lot of this time this comes up in the news where stuff just gets kind of swept under the rug and it's, it's very suspicious. So why not label it unless they have something to hide? That's, part one. Part two is, a huge amount of money being spent, in favor of the labeling and against the labeling. So there's really a lot, there's a link that lists, organic, companies, other companies that are, either for or against the labeling, and they're all putting up money to promote this stuff. And now, granted, it's an important topic, but that money could be feeding people in the first place. And another surprise on the list is that on the against for the labeling side. You know, a lot of interesting companies and organic companies. But then on the trying to stop the labeling, there's actually some organic type companies, and so you know that was surprising and good to learn about. Lara Bar, they make these nut bars that I bought occasionally, but not going to buy them. That's my way of boycotting, protesting. Knudsen, K-N-U-D-S-E-N, another big company. I've sometimes bought their juices. I think they're organic. They're trying to stop the labeling. So what does that mean? Do they have GMOs in their products? I don't know, but that's one way to deal with what's going on. Another topic on the list is military spending. It's, you know, it's nothing new, and it's often stated, but look at what's going on in the world, and yet there's this gargantuan amount of military spending on weaponry. I have a recent article, just submitted it, but expecting it to be at the Axis of Logic website. And the article is called Global Consciousness Pie Chart. And I looked up a whole bunch of statistics, and international research shows that the United States defense funds make up between 40 and 45% of the world's total military spending, and about as much as the next 11 biggest spending countries combined, and more than four times that of China, who's number two on the list. So we have a huge, huge amount of money going to military stuff. But meanwhile, a lot of people are struggling to eat and, you know, pay their energy bills. You know, food, energy, and military are connected. The latter is often used to control the former. And let's see. Another kind of semi-rant topic is this sort of, spoiledness or officiousness or snootiness of being able to be on the internet. And, I know it's kind of a high. You can look up a lot of stuff and get information, but sometimes it's sort of like a, you know, an addictive high, and which is fine. But I think a lot of people have lost touch with when I found this stat that, only 34% of the global population is online. So it's like, you know, think about 66% of humanity that is not online. Think about the trees, the birds, the mountains, the valleys. You know, be thankful you can be online and do all kinds of stuff, but realize that, you know, that doesn't make you entitled or necessarily smarter than other people on the planet, with the planet. And another recent headline was that there was an earthquake off the coast of Japan, and the Fukushima TEPCO plant had to be evacuated of the workers. And luckily, I think there was no side damage, no side effect type of thing. But when that happened, I saw that at commondreams.org and then check CNN. I like to check mainstream news once in a while to see what they're up to. And when I checked CNN, the headline was "She's Back." So for a second, I thought, "Wow, maybe they were referring to this powerful nature, Mother Nature energy." But guess what? It was about Sarah Palin. So who cares? You know, she's back, but what has she done? Has she done anything? And it was like this mainstream avoidance of the reality of the, you know, the true, powerful feminine energy, as a friend, kind of highlighted for me. You know, here's the mainstream media focusing on this individual person who actually annoys a lot of people. It's sort of like a media darling. And then, you know, instead of paying attention on, Mother Earth energy that literally affects us all. So, that's not infrequent that the mainstream avoids that stuff. Another headline recently seen, brought up another topic. 1 in 10 young people is a victim of sexual violence, the unspoken epidemic. There's been a lot of reports of that going on in the military as well. A lot of, you know, along with the post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, a lot of rape and things like that, sexual harassment. So I mean, the topic, it's so squelched and we kind of giggle about it, but you know, let's be real, let's be adults and look at the positives of masturbation. You know, let's get over the hang-ups that, you know, I mean, I grew up at a time where, you know, there was the joke about your palm, not so much a joke, but it was like your palms would get hairy if you did that, and these kind of spooky fears that people get fed, and it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, you floss your teeth, you wipe your butt, you pick your nose, so you know, do what you do with yourself. And if you're not bothering anybody, all the power to you. And but seriously, I really think if this kind of thing were encouraged, if you know, call it masturbation, call it self-satisfaction, you know, if that kind of thing were encouraged and people were shown that that is a viable outlet for their energies, then you know, the sense of not only violent, you know, violence, of course, at the foremost, but the just predatoriness, rape, people stalking other people. You know, a lot of times women, for the most part, as far as I know, are have to deal, you know, have dealt with that as statistically as the victims. And so, you know, one of the easiest solutions is a cultural encouragement of, hey, you know, take care of yourself, stop messing with other people. And another, actually, you know, serious important thing about, you know, sexuality and masturbation, and another reason worth talking about is overpopulation. You know, it annoys me when people make these statements. Well, you know, at the current rate of population, by 20 so and so, there will be this many billion people on the planet. Well, yeah, what about talking about, you know, changing that current track? Because part of the reason for the economic problems is overpopulation. I've only actually heard a few people kind of connect the dots here. Lawrence Ferlinghetti, in a documentary about him, you know, mentions why are they cutting down the rainforests? You know, more wood for more stuff. So more people want to buy stuff. So it takes more, you know, more of the desecration of the Mother Earth. So, you know, we need to look at the level of resources and how that affects the economy and how that's tied in with sexuality. I've also heard the Dalai Lama mention the issue of overpopulation, and a spiritual teacher and friend that first brought that topic to my mind. So it is not something that gets talked about a lot. So again, important to mention that. So that's a topic I've felt strongly about for a while. So to see that headline in the news brought that out. So, I don't know. That's about it, really. I mean, there's other stuff I could go up on, and I'm sure, you know, you have your own little topics, and you know, both humorously and seriously, it can be healthy and feels good sometimes to just let off some steam and said, you know, talk to a friend. Did you read this crazy shit? And did you see this? And you know, what's going on? And but then also seriously, like with this rent is too damn high party, I think the guy really genuinely think he has a point, and that it's something that can be talked about, and that something like that can make a real change. Recently read that Jesse Ventura is running for president in the next election with Howard Stern as a vice president. And, you know, people may laugh at that, but if you've heard Jesse Ventura speak, the guy's got some real common sense. And you know, as much of a wild card as Howard Stern is, I've always appreciated his just bluntness and honesty and saying things that a lot of people wouldn't dare to say. So you know, think you're gonna rant, try to have some purpose to it, enjoy the process, learn from it. Had Lee Camp on the show a couple of few times, and he's a prime example of someone who, as a comedian activist, rants to good effect, can learn a lot from watching his moment of clarity, and also have a good laugh while you're doing it. Hey, I'm gonna throw a little poem into the mix. This is one I wrote earlier this year. It was published at accessoflogic.com, and it's called "My Political Party Is." My political party is a small flock of sparrows gathering around a chunk of a roll with sesame seeds in the laundromat parking lot across the street from the mosque in Judeo-Christian Punjabi Latino et al. Suburbia. Under patchy gray skies in July when school is out and people are on vacation and the society is closer to enlightened recreational anarchy than at any other time of the year. My political party is another beer with a repub looking, a cheese sandwich with a Democ rat, a hike through a northwest forest with a member of the Green Party, doing whatever I want to do without harming the Libertarian Party, a buffet with the rent is too damn high party because businesses have gone out, because the rent is too damn high. People have gone out into cars and onto the streets because the rent is too damn high, because banks are, U.S., are too damn greedy, because their feet are disconnected from the very earth they bleed, because their souls are disconnected from their calloused feet. My political party is to party like it's 1999. My political party is Moses parting the Red Sea. My political party is the party of the first part, really caring about the party of the second part. My political party seeks to abolish all political parties that do not provide valet parking, free beverages and snacks, clean water and real food, free energy to heat the clean water and real food, and a quiet place to heart think about what's next after all the partying. And that's with a little nod to Tiokasen Ghost Horse, who uses that phrase a lot, heart think. It's helped keep us out of our heads all the time, and that we really do think with the heart and we feel with the heart. And oftentimes, most important decisions are made there. So, aiming for next week to get to part 5 of the Latin America series. And after a good rant, gotta go for some mellow music. So, this is a track from an exquisitely beautiful CD by Hans Christian called Undefended Heart. He plays the violoncello. This was recorded at the Chartres Cathedral in France. And the title of the song is And For Your Hand. And quite poetically, there's 10 songs in the CD, and all the songs make a short little poem, with each track being a title. So the whole thing reads as, I walk in truth with my head bowed to honor your greatness, asking for your gift of silent knowing and for your hand. As I traverse my shadow, your light is my guide to a new beginning. So we'll go out with the track And For Your Hand. Thank you for listening, and have a good one. Thank you.